Well, hello everybody and welcome to another edition of Riding the Storm Out. My name is Paul Blair and this is my good friend and co-pastor Dan Fisher. Between the two of us, we are either leading or destroying the great Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. I'm not sure which. Jury is still out on that. But Dan, I'm so glad we are here to celebrate the miraculous end to COVID. You know, yeah. I didn't realize, you know, it was just rampant. And there seemed to be no cure. We had all these injections, third and fourth jabs. We're talking about
jab.
All we needed was Putin to invade the Ukraine and change the narrative. And, of course, for President Biden to be ready to, Vice President Biden. I only honor duly elected offices. But when Vice President Biden chose to give his State of the Union address.
All the masks, come on. Yeah.
And even Nancy Pelosi was taking her mask. Yeah. I wish she'd put hers back on.
Yeah, she said now if she'd been around little children and her grandchildren, she'd been wearing a mask.
And, of course, that's following.
It actually is contrary to science, which says they're the least vulnerable. And actually, the grandchildren should be wearing masks to keep from infecting old grandma, who is actually the vulnerable one of the bunch. Yeah. It's just nuts.
Well, the whole thing has been nuts. You don't want to pat yourself on the back because none of this has been joyful. We've experienced the destruction of our country over the last 2 years, and we've seen an incredible attempt to grasp global control, global governance. But what we have seen that is encouraging, I guess, for those of us that have been telling the truth the whole time, is seeing the other side now confirm that masks don't work. Which we've said all along.
Well, but they said that at the beginning.
Yeah, and then they said it at the beginning until they didn't. And
yeah,
then,
that's exactly right.
And now they're admitting it again.
Yes.
What's amazing to me is I was out yesterday picking up a few things, and there are still a handful of people with masks on. And I'm wondering, what in the world? Where do you people get your news?
They're morons, Paul.
yes, I can't argue with that.
I mean, you know, we used to call them useful idiots.
And that's what they are.
Yep. Now, to their defense, a few of them may actually have severe health challenges. You know, and if
mental
I had OCPD
health,
or whatever, then maybe I would wear a mask because that might be a death sentence for me to get COVID or, for that matter, pneumonia. But for most of these, I think these are just these kooks that believe everything the left says.
Another thing is I saw in an article yesterday that the vax, I don't want to mislead anyone.
It's not a vaccine.
It's mRNA experimental procedure. It actually does manipulate your, change your body's DNA.
Well, of course. And any time you go in and manipulate the immune system, which we know almost zero about, I mean, obviously we know what it does, but we don't know how it does it. So we're going to go in and roll up our sleeves, lift up the hood, and tinker with it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Isn't that brilliant? That's like me working on an F-16. Yeah, when I'm done, it won't fly.
And this is not something you want to take chances with. Once you mess this up, there's no reversal.
Well, I was talking to a physician just the other day, and he said, I predict that within 5 to 10 years, we're going to have massive autoimmune problems in people who've taken this shot.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, I was reading the book written by Kennedy on the viruses and the vaccines. And I think, what was it? When I'm trying to go from memory here, so that's a little sketchy.
Well,
when Fauci came into power in the late 80s, the chances of someone developing memory loss. The chances of one
trying to remember that, one of the problems with Fauci is he's always been about manipulating the immune system. Even when he was leading the charge against AIDS, they were trying to get him to go after the virus and to help develop treatments to actually fight the virus, and he refused because he wanted to go after the immune system. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward past the AIDS thing, that's exactly what he did with COVID.
Yeah.
They wanted him to help to develop, not him personally, but to promote the development of medications that would actually attack the virus called COVID-19. Oh, no. We've got to manipulate the immune system. See, he's the same old tricks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the damage to my brain doesn't come from the virus. It comes from being hit in the head a couple of hundred thousand times and thinking that was a good idea. What a great way to make a living. Hey,
no, exactly.
Run into things. And, you know, normally common sense says that when you hit something, you should stop and back up. As an offensive lineman, your coach teaches you that when you make contact, you sink your hips and accelerate.
Yeah.
Now, that is just as dumb as he
– but here's
maybe,
the positive.
Maybe wrestlers, the only boxing, they'll
– but here's the positive for that, Paul.
What's that?
It perfectly equips you to be a pastor.
That's true. The only jobs that are dumb are wrestling, boxing, and going into full-time pastor. Exactly right. Well, I want to segue into our next crisis because those folks that don't realize that this is coming, the one that's just around the corner. In fact, this was actually plan A, but people just weren't falling for it. So obviously the COVID accomplished a great deal, but now it's starting to wane. Even Bill Gates admitted that with Omicron, we've reached herd immunity. And
well, not only that, he didn't admit it. He bemoaned it.
He actually said
it's so sad that Omicron is doing what we wanted the vaccine to do.
Isn't that amazing to actually admit that on the air? That he's disappointed.
He's disappointed.
That this crisis has been averted now.
I'm telling you, if you listen to these people, Paul, and I know you know this, but so our listener, if you will just let these people talk, they tell you what they're made of.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're terrible people. You have pointed out, in fact, you were the first one that brought this to my attention. Here he is on the one hand claiming that some 8 billion people need to disappear from planet Earth because we're overpopulated.
Right.
On the other hand, he's saying, let's come up with every vaccine we can to preserve life.
Yep.
Now, both of those don't go together.
Not the same person.
No, it's one or the
same
other.
Same guy can't be passionate about both.
That's right.
You have two guys, but the same guy can't be passionate about both.
Yeah, it's like opposing views of the same thing cannot be both right. I mean, it's impossible for that to be true. They can both be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so these guys give themselves away if you just watch them. There's all kinds of footage of Fauci and Pelosi in the heat of the COVID thing, not wearing their masks in public.
Oh, yeah.
It's only when the camera goes on.
I've never seen Bill Gates or George Soros wearing a mask.
No.
I've never seen any of these elites wearing masks.
No, of course not. Well, but they're special.
Yeah, of course. And you're right. Pelosi with her fundraiser in the midst of this in California, she had several hundred people. The only ones wearing a mask were those that were serving the tables. It was interesting. At the State of the Union address the other night, you didn't have anybody in the Capitol wearing a mask except the security team that was working. They were required to wear a mask. So isn't that amazing?
They're total frauds. Yeah. I mean, they're total hypocrites. And something happened last night. It's a perfect example. Anytime someone would kind of boo or speak out against Biden, they'd all just have a conniption. Mm-hmm. But if you remember when Trump gave that State of the Union Nancy Pelosi takes the speech and does that in front of the camera. See, that's okay.
There's no consistency. There's no objectivity. I mean, that's the thing that bugs me more than anything is these people will just look right in the camera and lie straight to your face.
Yes, they're liars.
There's no conscience.
Well, they are liars. And when you become a habitual liar, you lie as a way to exist.
Yeah.
It's not just, I told a lie.
You tell lies
they lie
because
constantly.
You are a liar.
No, that's exactly right. They lie constantly to the point that they don't know who they've told which lie to.
Right.
So they just lie all the time.
David, do you have, there's a great, interview by Project Veritas and James O'Keefe. I don't know if you've got that. Let's play that and try to give us a little background as we continue our conversation.
Defending ourselves against the impacts of nature. That's a stark way to put it.
I think there's just like a COVID fatigue. So like whenever a new story comes up, they're going to latch onto it. They've already announced inner office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate like global warming and like that's going to be our next like
he must have played football too. I got it. Got the same problem
I or he's a Baptist priest.
Yeah, that's going to be our focus. Like our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right?
So not supposed to say that part out loud, are they?
Awareness.
Yeah, climate change awareness.
Emily, 10 years ago versus today, there's a lot more climate change coverage on TV. There are a lot more reporters assigned to this beat. So there's been real progress, but is it enough in your view?
You know, I think it's really great that we've had progress on this issue.
Humpty Dumpty.
The fact is that we're just not treating it like the planetary emergency.
Oh, wow, look at her. I really want to get my advice from her.
We're not learning the lessons that the COVID-19 pandemic taught us. where we have a global crisis and the entire newsroom mobilizes to cover that crisis. We understand that it infiltrates every single area of our life. There's no excuse for being a reporter today who doesn't understand the basic science of COVID-19. Why is it not the same for climate change? Right now, everyone should be a climate reporter.
Brian Stelter, interesting.
If you're not a climate reporter right now, you will be, whether you realize it or not.
Well, I have a feeling it's just going to be, like, constantly showing videos of, like, decline in ice and weather warming up and, like, the effects it's having on the economy and really talking.
Let's go back to both of you on this. What does it mean, David, to be a climate reporter, that everyone has to be a climate reporter today?
A climate reporter.
Well, it means that climate is threaded through every aspect of our lives at the very highest level through the geopolitics and competition of nations, not just over energy resources, but about over land and military relationships, trade relationships, all the way down to the individual, where many people's mental health is being eroded as we speak, not to mention their physical
health. His mental health has been eroded.
Air pollution from the burning of fossil fuels kills about 10 million people every year, which is dying at the scale of the Holocaust, in fact, larger than the Holocaust every single year. And yet we don't see many public health stories. We don't see many moral crises stories addressed to that issue.
Pandemic-like story, like, that will beat to death. But that one's got longevity. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a definitive ending to the pandemic or, you know, like, it'll taper off to a point that it's, you know, not a problem anymore. Climate thing is going to take years, so they'll probably be able to milk that for quite a bit. You know?
So this was just a couple of months ago as they were wrapping down the COVID-19. Yeah, when they saw, already making plans.
Number one, they could read the handwriting on the wall. Right. COVID was not as lethal as I think they hoped it would be. Mm-hmm. So it didn't kill as many. They could see that things are, it's doing like most viruses do. It's burning itself out.
Right.
Herd immunity is kicking in. We got to have something else.
This all began back with the Rio summit. Now think about this.
Yeah.
1989, the wall fell. So communism, we thought, was gone.
Yeah.
Just a couple of years later, they had the globe coming together with the Rio summit and attacking climate change, the existential threat. And it's interesting that Gorbachev left the Soviet Union and went to San Francisco and wound up leading a green organization. Quite frankly, this is the tool they're using, or were using, up until COVID became an even better one. But let me just show a couple things, and you're going to talk about this in a minute too, but what's hilarious is they went from, it used to be, we're going to have another ice age. It was global cooling. When I was in the 70s, when we were young people, it was in the global cooling. We're going to all die because the world's going to be covered with ice. And then all of a sudden, it transitioned into global warming. And now we're going to all burn up. And so now, since they can't make up their mind whether it's going to be freezing or warming, they just say, we've got climate change. Folks, I've got news for you. The climate always changes. That's what the climate is. The slide on the screen shows that back 1,000 years ago, that the Vikings actually used to farm Greenland. Now, if you were to go to Greenland today, it's covered with ice largely. But 1,000 years ago, it was not, because we were in the midst of what history calls the medieval warming period, which was then followed by the little ice age. David, if we can hit the next slide, and we see some verification. Oh, go ahead and hit the next one, if you would. Yeah, here we go. The Thames River in London used to freeze so solidly that they would have festivals and fairs out on the ice of the river. Again, this was during the little ice age. Now we're going through a little bit of a warming trend again. Hit the next slide, if you would, David. This gives you a little bit of a graph of the temperature change just going back to 800. You see, and actually, you go back before this, Dan, of course, there was the Roman warming period.
Yep, exactly.
But you've got the medieval warming period. You've got the little ice age. Now, here we are over here around 2000. We're not even as warm as we were back during the medieval warming period.
No.
It's supposed to be SUVs and jet airplanes that's causing
this. Well, it was all those jets that those viceroys and kings,
King Arthur, with his
Knights
jets.
Templar, they're all traveling around in SUVs.
Exactly.
And, Yeah. Well, and if you'll notice here, the Little Ice Age was beginning to wane right about the time of our War of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why things like crossing the Delaware with the chunks of ice and all that kind of stuff, they
Valley
were at the
Forge.
Tail end. Yeah, they were at the tail end of the Little Ice Age. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One last shot up here, just for those of you that are Christians, and hopefully if you're watching us, you probably are, at least lean that way. After Noah got off the ark, made an offering unto the Lord, and God promised that there would always be seasons. There would always be climate. Now, I've got news for you. According to what Peter tells us, one of these days, the Lord himself is going to have a heat wave.
Yeah, it's going to burn.
It's going to burn all up eventually. But it won't be our SUVs and our Learjets.
No.
And the hypocrisy of these guys, too. You know, Al Gore, when he came out, was talking about his hockey stick. Then he goes
He had a hockey stick, all right.
Goes and buys beachfront property, for crying out loud.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
No, of course not.
No, he has a house in Tennessee that's so large that 1 month's utility bills is the equivalent of a year's utility bills by the average American.
And
it doesn't make sense.
If they really believe
they're hypocrites in
what they're spewing, they wouldn't
this
be
is
taking
their
private.
Stick, yeah, Paul,
exactly.
This is their stick.
Yeah.
If it wasn't climate change, it would just be something else.
Yeah.
So let me read some stuff. Of course, you know, in the end, God said, look, there's going to be summer, winter until the end. Except for Oklahoma, and then you just go you go from extreme summer to extreme winter back to extreme
summer. Nothing in between.
Summer.
That's right.
Okay. So let me give you some deals that are they're kind of funny if they weren't so sad. So listen to this news prediction. It says the countries now basking in the fostering warmth of a tropical sun will ultimately give way to the perennial frost and snow of the polar regions. Okay, that's New York Times, 1895. The fifth ice age is on its way. Human race will have to fight for his existence against the cold. Los Angeles Times, 1912. All right, but then notice...
I must have missed it. Must not have been as bad as they were saying.
Scientist says Arctic ice will wipe out Canada. All right, that was Chicago Tribune, 1923. And then they keep on going. Mm-hmm. Now listen to this. In about 1939, gaffers who claim that winters were harder when they were boys are quite right. Weathermen have no doubt that the world, at least for the time being, is growing warmer. That's 1939. 1947, a mysterious warming of the climate is slowly manifesting itself in the Arctic, engendering a serious international problem. New York Times, 1947. So as you go through and you read these articles, you begin to notice something happening. Mm-hmm. Sometime around 1930, they went from an ice age that's going to hit us at the turn of the century, the 20th century, to now we're entering this
warming,
abnormal warming. So let me give you just a few more. First Earth Day was in 1970, okay? So let me pull this up.
We were back in the ice, moving towards the ice, if I remember.
Well,
we
were pretty much done
with the warming.
Yeah.
So the warming phase had passed from 1930s to 1970. Now we're back to the cooling phase.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now listen to these predictions from the first Earth Day, okay? So this is in 1970. The death rate will increase because we will outstrip our ability to produce food by 1980 until 100 to 200 million are starving to death per year. Let's see here. Scientists...
So that was 42 years ago, right?
Yeah. They're predicting famine, starvation, cataclysm will begin in the 1980s. Okay, listen to this. Between 1980 and 1989, 4 billion with a B... people on the earth will perish in what will be known as the Great Die-Off. 65 million Americans because we won't be able to feed our people. And it just goes on and on and on with all of these failed predictions of which none have come true.
They never have the honesty or integrity to admit they're wrong. They just double down and come up with the next crisis.
And here's the thing. All of these modern predictions are based upon computer models. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the computer models are probably flawed to begin with, and then they pump into those false information. Yeah. So you got garbage in, garbage out.
You're going to get out of it whatever you want to put
in. No, of course. So if you want to create a program that will skew everything, and then you feed it the information you designed it to have to skew it, well, yeah, you can take these computer programs and predict all this. So let me show you. It's the old adage, Are you going to listen to me or believe your lying eyes, right? Yeah, okay. Okay. So just one, and I'm not going to tell the whole story because it takes too long. But in 1942, there was what was called the Lost Squadron, and they had to ditch their P-38s in Iceland, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that P-38s are incredibly valuable. If you can get one and restore it, you've got a real gem on your hands. So this gentleman had been looking for where this Lost Squadron landed for years and found them in 1992. So exactly 50 years after they had to ditch, he found the planes. Guess how far down they were in the ice and snow.
So they landed there, crash landed in an emergency landing in 1942. Okay. And
50 years later, you'd figure what? 8 inches, 9 inches, 20 inches of ice?
Oh, how about 10 feet? How about 10 feet?
Well, 268 feet. They were buried in 268 feet.
Was this during the warming phase that they were talking about? This
was in the massive warming period where everybody's going to be starving to death. So he goes ahead and creates an instrument where he runs warm water through this and melts a well, basically a pit, 268 feet down into the ice. And then runs hoses down in it with hot water and blows out a cavern. And piece by piece pulls up one of these P-38s, called her Glacier Girl, and restored it. But now think of that. In 50 years from 1942 to 1992, 268 feet of ice accumulated on top of those planes.
Well, here's one thing that's been really obvious. And it's the same thing is true with this climate. And, folks, you saw the interview with James O'Keefe a while ago with this CNN producer talking about how they aren't reporting the news. They're making the news.
That's exactly right.
They're reporting stories. They're creating stories. And they just keep pushing them on us constantly where people are in a state of panic. And you repeat a lie enough, people tend to believe it. And our generation may never fall for it, but they're trying to indoctrinate the minds of our children right now. So the next generation that's coming through public ed is going to be taught this without any other
And they believe it. Yeah. So the fact is, you know, they told us that the Arctic ice is melting. Actually, Arctic ice is at record levels.
Yeah.
The Arctic ice cap has experienced record growth. This is a report from 2014.
Well, a couple of years ago, there was an environmental ship that was going down there. They got trapped
and
in the ice.
And froze up.
They were all going
to prove how much the polar caps were melting and couldn't get there because they got frozen up, which I thought was the funniest thing. Okay, you've seen the picture of the polar bear floating on the piece of ice, or you've seen the ice shelf breaking off.
Sure.
Notice it's always the same footage.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they film it in the summer when actually there is meltage, and then they show it claiming that this is warming. So a study has now shown that the polar bears are doing quite well and are repopulating or reproducing at a record rate. There's been no increase in hurricanes. In fact, the number of severe hurricanes is dropping rather than going up. Same thing with these violent tornadoes. Now, there are violent hurricanes and there are violent tornadoes. It has been through our history. But notice what they always do. When there is one, what do they say?
Climate change. Absolutely.
They're worse than ever.
And they're brilliant because it's climate change. It's not global warming or global cooling. It's climate just climate change. And by definition, the climate always does change.
Because if I remember correctly, there used to be a big sheet of ice across North America. Gone now. I guess it must have warmed up.
Must have been the SUVs of those dinosaurs.
But those were centuries.
Oh, I know.
We all know what it was. It was right after Noah's flood when probably the canopy of water on the outside of the atmosphere had been dissipated. Mm-hmm. And it created these polar caps. It hadn't been that way before.
You know what I find interesting, too, is the relationship between the opinion of the consensus of scholars and where the money's coming from.
Of course.
It's amazing how the consensus of scholars always tracks right along with
the
outcome that the grant money provides.
And scientists are the same way. Yeah. And what's interesting is we all know that with every – remember the guy that said this down in Grapevine? For every PhD, there's an opposite and equal PhD.
That's exactly
right. So what they do is they simply find the guys who believe this stuff, and they only quote them.
And they won't quote the others. In fact, they mock the others.
Same thing with COVID.
Climate deniers.
Look at all of these doctors like Scott
Atlas
and Richard Bartlett and these guys down in Texas and other places that have effectively treated thousands of COVID patients, and they've lost like This one doctor lost three patients, and all three of those had other severe health issues. Do they ever quote those guys?
Of course not.
No, they actually ban them. They deplatform them and say that they're science deniers.
Yep.
They even said Richard Malone.
Yeah.
Or is it Richard or Robert? Malone.
Robert,
okay. Malone, who invented the mRNA technology, he was deplatformed. They said he was a science denier. He's the guy that invented it.
Well, we relish the debate. Because we've got the facts on our side. The other side,
they don't. They know they don't.
Silences the opposition because they don't have the facts. They have to shut us down. Okay. Whether it be creation, whether it be human sexuality,
doesn't matter
whether
what it
be
is.
COVID, whether it be climate change, doesn't matter what it is. That's exactly right.
So what you're saying then is our audience just needs to be aware.
Yeah, critical thinking skills. Yeah,
but there's a new crisis.
Yeah, next crisis coming down the line.
Yeah, right. And
it's already here.
It's climate change.
Climate change, exactly.
So they're back to that.
And understand that the answer to all of these is more centralized control and more taxes. Just pay more taxes, give more power to the beautiful people in Davos, and they won't be able to fix anything.
Make everybody afraid.
Pay more taxes. Exactly.
Make everybody afraid, and then people out of fear will listen to their brilliant authority.
Well, I was never a huge fan of The Matrix. I thought it was interesting, but I love the whole idea of the red pill. Once you've been introduced to the truth, you've been red-pilled, and hopefully our audience will start looking at these news articles a little bit differently as you hear this now being regurgitated and repeated time and time and time again. Well, but anything else? We're about out of time.
Well, we don't have time to go into it, but see, it's the same thing with evolution, like the age of the Grand Canyon.
Sure.
All of this stuff has actually biblical explanations.
Right. Oh, no doubt.
There is an explanation for the extinction of the dinosaurs and all this kind of stuff. It's called Noah's flood and the creation of the canyon. Yeah,
well,
when
Mount
that mud
St.
was
Helens
soft.
Gave us a, a wonderful
in
miniature.
In 1 week.
Exactly.
Oh, in 1 week, a canyon 1/40 the size of Grand Canyon was carved out in 1 week. We watched it happen.
Right.
So there are biblical answers, and that's, I think, why this program is useful.
Right.
There are actually biblical solutions to all of this nonsense.
And that's what we are here, riding the storm out. A couple of out-of-work pastors, or soon-to-be out-of-work pastors. Bringing you biblical perspectives on current cultural issues. Buddy, we're getting ready to head out of town, go down to Arkansas, work with the Huckabees, and do another pastor training
Train
camp.
Some preachers.
So
we
better call it quits for this week. Next week, hopefully, we'll have a special guest with us. Not sure yet, but...
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool if it works out.
Until next week, we thank you for joining us for this week's episode,
you.
And we look forward to being with you next time for Riding the Storm Out.